Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation, open mic to Mike Friday, opening with Tequila, an old song. Let's hear it for a minute. Tequila. Tequila. Okay, that's what I wanted to hear, tequila. You know, the Democrat Party strikes me as not so much a political organization as a cult. It seems to me that the Democrat Party is being run like a cult, and Obama's sort of a cult leader. He's not a president. He's not the head of the party. He has no instincts for democracy. He has instincts for, well, theocracy, if you want to put it that way, authoritarianism. We all know he rules like a king or a dictator would rule because he's not steeped in U.S. lore as much as he's steeped in narcissism and self-love. Which is the same thing, except narcissism is too big a word for those of you who live on the East Coast, so I use self-love. But since he's steeped in self-love, and he's more like a king or a cult leader, like a Jim Jones, he's a Jim Jones without the Kool-Aid, different Rolls Royces. He resides in a mansion in Washington, D.C., where the cult members come for favors. They genuflect before King Obama. They ask him for favors. Sometimes he grants favors. He's known to make things up as he goes along. He's known to stumble without a teleprompter. We know all of this. So as I say, I think the Democrat Party is as close to a cult as you're ever going to find. And what I would like to talk about, because I'm bored of politics, frankly, I think you are too. Polls up, polls down, weak Romney, this, up and down, da-da-da. You know I'm not going to talk about the Olympics. What can you do? That's a television show. What I want to talk about is this. I'd like to ask you, since I've said that I think the Democrat Party is more like a cult than a traditional American political party, I would like to have cult horror stories on the Savage Nation. Do you know someone in your family who was entrapped by a cult, who had to be, let's say, rescued or deprogrammed by, I don't know what they call them, people who go and rescue them from the cult? And then they have to de-brainwash them, whatever they do. I'd like to hear cult horror stories in the Savage Nation. And maybe you had a daughter, a niece, a son, a grandmother. Older people, I hear, get caught. I heard that old people get caught up in cults today as much as young people. You would think it's young people looking for free love. But sometimes it's old people looking for salvation who get entrapped by cults. And they can't get away from them. So the phone number is 1-800-449-8255 for your cult horrors, your cult horror stories. You know, there was a movie I saw recently with Cate Blanchett, who was in the Woody Allen movie. Now, I remembered her name this morning. She was on the deck as I went by with my boat. She's a fabulous actress and all that. But one of the first movies I'd ever seen her in, where she played an Australian girl who got entrapped by a cult, and she was deprogrammed by that guy. I don't know. I forget his name. He's a pretty good actor. But it struck me as pretty real. I don't know much about cult life, but if you have anyone who you know who was caught in the cult and has been rescued, give me a call at 1-800-449-8255. Here are some of the stories that are on michaelsavage.com. Why Mitt Romney is Losing, written, of course, by CNN. Why Mitt Romney is Losing, a CNN hack wrote that. Is Pete Romney losing? I mean, Mitt Romney losing? I forgot his first name already. Is Meek Romney losing or not? I know you're going to call me on that. I can say he's not winning. I could say Mitt Romney is not winning because he's playing it too cautiously, playing it too close to the middle. Here's another question for you on the Savage Nation. According to a lawsuit, Big Sis Napolitano, my name, by the way, Big Sis, has been favoring her female friends with top jobs. Big Sis, female friends. Now, the House of Reps, controlled by the Repubes, is able to start impeachment proceedings against cabinet members. Should they begin such proceedings against Janet Big Sis Napolitano for sex discrimination against males? Here is another question. If you're a liberal who voted for Obama, why are you disappointed in him now? Dumb question, but okay. We have to appeal to all sorts of... Here's a story from Russia that I found very interesting. I changed the headline a bit on michaelsavage.com. Madonna went to Russia, and she gave a concert. Obviously, she's allowed to do that. And the stoners in Russia are no different than the stoners anywhere else. They're allowed to go see an aging grandmother cavorting on the stage. Where's that story? Oh, here. So the pop star calls for the release of three gangster women in Russia. I call them gangster women because you won't believe it. The media made you think that they were just punk rockers who were arrested by Putin for being wild and crazy. But no, that's not what it is. They went to the main Russian Orthodox church, I believe in Moscow, stormed onto the pulpit and performed obscene acts and started to scream that the Orthodox Christian Church of Russia is too closely tied to Putin. So Putin had them arrested, and I agree with him 100%. You know, there's a certain point at which your society breaks down unless you control the vermin. The vermin drug addicts, the vermin anarchists, etc. We've seen that in our country. So now Madonna, the aging, you know what she is, goes to Russia and calls for the release of these three hooligans. The Russian politicians are not constrained like our petty bureaucrat politicians are. So they strike back, and here's what they say. The head guy, the deputy prime minister, Dmitry Rogozin, a nationalist politician and former envoy to NATO. Notice they had to throw in the word nationalist as if that's bad. Notice if you're a socialist politician, they don't mention it. But if you're a nationalist politician, suddenly the word nationalist is an evil word to the vermin at Reuters, the descendants of Hitler. So Dmitry Rogozin gets so mad, Madonna, that he says, every XWH.RE, see how polite I can be on the show? He said, every XWH*.RE tends to lecture everybody with age, especially during world tours and concerts. That's Rogozin, who now leads Russia's drive to upgrade the army and defense industry, and he wrote that in a tweet in English. So then she went on and put him down. Now, these performances by these so-called punk vermin offended many, mostly in Orthodox Christian Russia, which is the majority of the people. And this trial is certainly not about free speech. Let me repeat again. These three vermin, these three gangster women, stormed the altar of Russia's main cathedral on February 21 and sang a punk prayer calling on the Virgin Mary to rid Russia of Putin. I personally don't like people who invade churches or synagogues or mosques or temples and kick over icons. I don't like them at all. Either you have a society of laws or you have lawlessness. Either you have a society of order or you have disorder. And they have every right to jail these vermin. So they're in jail. So now you have this aging, whatever you want to call her, goes there and starts lecturing the government. So she strikes, they strike back at her. They strike back at her. And Rogozin adds this. He says to Madonna, either take off the cross or put on your panties, Rogozin applied. You see, the Russian people are very, very didactic in their use of language. I'm descended from people who came, my father came from Russia. And one of the reasons I am both popular and vilified in America is because people either understand me or don't understand me. Those who understand my Slavic sense of humor understand what I'm saying. I'm very blunt. I was raised in English, but you have to understand my father was originally a Russian speaker. So the English he spoke was in many ways sort of you don't realize, it's very interesting. Structurally, it's a different language that I speak, which is why I'm so popular and different than everybody in radio. You're hearing English, but it strikes you as different than English. And that's because the language I use, the words I use, are structured probably according to Russian or some other language that you may not even be aware of. But it strikes home, doesn't it? I'm very well known to speak in pictograms. I speak pictographically, which is very different than most English speakers. And I don't speak around things. I speak directly at things. And I tend to be perhaps overly blunt, but isn't that what talk radio is supposed to do? Wake you up? Awaken you? Isn't that what religion is supposed to do? Isn't a church service supposed to awaken you? Yes, it is, but it doesn't. You've fallen asleep in your churches. When you watch ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, and Fox, you fall asleep. They don't awaken you. They hypnotize you. They nullify you. In other words, they put you to sleep. So I awaken you. You understand that? So there we go. So now we got 53 topics and more. I feel I've done my opening very well. We're talking about those of you who either were in a cult or had to be rescued from a cult, because I said the Democrat Party is more like a cult than a political party, which, by the way, is quotable, eminently very quotable. You think about what I said to you and how real it is. It's shocking. Don't dismiss what I said. The Democrat Party is very much like a cult rather than a traditional political party. I don't remember a party behaving the way this one has behaved under Obama. And Obama is not really seen as a political figure as much as he is a religious figure. They compared him to a black Jesus originally. The failed movie guy, Spike Lee, the one who made, I don't know one movie he made that I could really watch more than 12 minutes. And so with enough money from Hollywood and enough people showing him how to aim a camera, he did, you know, he made some money. But the thing is, there's not one movie he made that wasn't an outright, outright anti-white propaganda piece. I mean, you know, you want me to mince words? I can't. Virtually every movie Spike Lee made is an anti-white, anti-American propaganda piece, which is why he is revered by the left-wing media. So even he comes out and says, well, Obama's not perfect. Obama's not perfect. We made him into a black Jesus. Well, I would think Jesus would be offended by being compared to Obama. That's number one, because Jesus, according to Christians, is perfect. So that's number one. That's a structural impossibility. But that'll be lost on the atheists who don't even get the argument. But having said that, Obama's like a cult leader, like a Jim Jones. The only thing he's not yet given to the members of the Democrat Party is the Kool-Aid. He hasn't yet given them the Kool-Aid. And as far as driving 13 or 25 Rolls Royces and making people wear purple costumes as the guru did in Antelope, Oregon, he doesn't have to do that. He doesn't need 13 Rolls Royces. Look what he has. He has Air Force 1, 2, and 3. He has the U.S. military. He has the U.S. Army underneath him. He has the ability to kill anybody on earth at any time without any constitution interfering with his acts. That's because he's a good liberal. And as you well know, good liberals can kill with impunity because, well, they have the right to. They have the superior virtue of the oppressed. It's a very important topic that I've touched on several times in my career. As you well know, there was a short story or a short essay written by Bertrand Russell, one of my early heroes, and it was entitled The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed. Now, he wrote that tongue-in-cheek, being British, and he was a good liberal, by the way. He was actually a socialist and a genius at the same time. Today, he'd be considered a right-winger, incidentally, by the communists who've taken over England. So Bertrand Russell wrote the essay The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed, and what was he implying? That if a person is oppressed, they assume that they have superior virtue. Now, plug into the word oppressed any group that wants some rights, black, Hispanic, in other words, anyone but a white male Christian heterosexual. Anyone other than a white male Christian heterosexual can fit that theorem of the oppressed. You get it? So now, and they say that it's the evil white male that's kept them down or done this to them or done that to them. And they assume that they have superior virtue because they've been oppressed for so long. Well, Bertrand Russell dismissed that argument and showed it's not true. And, of course, it's not true. You can't assume that because of a class of people have a superior virtue just because of their class, right? And so, therefore, the Democrat Party is very much like a cult steeped in victimhood. It is like a cult that walks around with a chip on its shoulder saying, well, we're oppressed, and it's those evil white males in the Republican Party, wink, wink, who are keeping us back from our progress. That's why I say, and I'll take a break in a minute, that the Democrat Party is very much like a cult, and Obama is very much like a cult leader. I'll be right back.
Savage.
song is dedicated to the Democrat Party cult with Bhagwan Shri Obama as the head guru. Bhagwan Shri Obama, who instead of driving 13 Rolls Royces, drives Air Force 1, 2, and 3 and the U.S. Army, U.S. military. And although Bhagwan Shri Obama is not an Indian mystic, to the Democrat followers, he is a guru and a spiritual teacher. He has also garnered an international following because he espouses the international socialism that is accepted by the folks around the world. Now, although Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, who lived up in Oregon, you know, remember the guy with the Rolls Royces and all the girls, right? And he went up there. He did very well. He got all the idiot girls with the money. So he goes up there, and he advocates a more open attitude towards sexuality. And that earned him the sobriquet sex guru in the Indian and later international press. Now, that's where he's different than Obama. The one thing we can say about Obama is he's a clean living guru. He's a very nicely married man with a wife and two beautiful children. And although the guru we're talking about, Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, moved to Pune in 1974, in a sense, there's a similarity to Obama going to Indonesia. The Bhagwan went to you know what I'm saying, to Pune. So he comes back from Pune, the guru, and he becomes so popular that he starts a whole thing up in Oregon. And Rajneesh then sets it up in Oregon. And I say the Rajneesh Purim, not to be confused with the Jewish holiday of Purim. The Rajneesh Purim. And yet there are...
Savvy.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
We are talking about the dangerous Democrat Party cult, which is increasingly acting like a cult rather than a legitimate American political party with a differing, let us say, set of values than the opposing Republican Party, and with Obama as the guru. And Obama seems more and more to me like Bhagwan Shri Obama rather than, you know, Barry Soweto. Nevertheless, if you were to ask most of the party adherents whether they consider Obama to be a religious figure, I would think some of them would say yes. Many of them, not some, many. And I would think that the Democrat Party has long disconnected itself from its roots in this country and become more like a cult. And that's why I'm saying Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh, the guy, you remember him, went up to from India. He went up to Oregon, the Rolls Royces, the free sex in the Rajneesh Purim in the state of Oregon. And then his large collection of Rolls Royces and the sexual liberation theology and that they poisoned... They did a bioterror attack on food in the citizens of Oregon. Now, this man's teachings, which emphasized meditation, awareness, love, courage, creativity, and humor, doesn't it sound like somebody you know? Don't all gurus teach meditation, awareness, love, celebration, courage? And isn't that what cults are all about? It's the 60s all over again. And then they tell you that your religious traditions are keeping you back and making you uptight while they try to, as I say, you know, have sex with your girlfriend or your wife and steal your food and your donations. Nevertheless, these New Age philosophies have penetrated America to the point that many of the young Twitterers don't even understand that they've been programmed by a cult. So that's why I ask you, have you or anyone you know been programmed by a cult and deprogrammed? Because America's Sean in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
My brother's first cult experience was with Reverend Sung Young Moon in California. I guess it was San Francisco. And he was with him for a number of months.
What did Reverend Moon do that was wrong? I don't quite understand it. He married people, men and women. Isn't that a good thing?
I don't know much about his following.
And Reverend Moon didn't have sex with his followers. He didn't rob them of money. I mean, what did he do that was wrong? I don't even know.
I think he took advantage of people that were looking for something else other outside of themselves.
Oh, you mean like people who vote for Obama?
You could say that.
So Reverend Obama is very much like Reverend Moon, you would say, not like Bhagwan Rajesh.
People that don't have any strong sense of individuality or...
Correct. They would rally around a man like Obama because he's like Bhagwan Sri Obama to them.
Yeah, don't have...
Thank you for the... Well, he correct. So this man sort of agrees with me, that caller. He says that a Bhagwan Sri Obama is not really like Jim Jones, that he's more like Reverend Moon in that sense, an Indian mystic guru and speech. See, it doesn't apply. I'd say Obama's more like an Indonesian mystic guru, or if those of you could say he's more like a Kenyan mystic, or if you want to be domestic about it, you could say that Obama is more like a Hawaiian mystic and guru. I think that might work. A Hawaiian mystic. He came from unknown origins, like he wasn't even born. You could say Obama wasn't even born to his followers. That he was sort of, it was like his mother was like Mary to the religious adherents in the Democrat Party. He was born through divine conception. There may have not even been any contact between a man and a woman in that he was so perfect, and he tried to bring such perfection to America. Bhagwan Sri Obama is who I'm talking about. Las Vegas, Mark, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I got involved with a cult called Earhart Seminar Training.
Oh, yes, that faker. That he's hiding in London now, I hear. He looks like a degenerate. He looks like a Bowery bum, I heard, from Saudi, ran into him.
Oh, really?
Oh, I somebody I know in London ran into Earhart, Werner Earhart, whose real name is what? Warren Enkelstein or something, I don't know. Anyway, he's wandering around London, unshaven, ragged clothing, and he's poor. That's what I was told. I can't confirm or deny it.
Well, it took over the whole company I was in, and the first to leave were the Jehovah's Witness and the Christians, because they knew trouble when they saw it. They took over the millionaires that owned the company, and then they took over the next line, and I was working as a machinist, and pretty soon I was all alone. The whole company had been taken by this man.
When he came in for his S training, he actually wound up owning the company?
Well, he converted everybody in the company except me with his training, which cost $800, and he did 1,000 people at a time in these giant auditoriums. And finally,
do you believe that God eventually punishes all false prophets?
Well, I'm glad what you told me about him, because I...
That's what I was told. I mean, I never was drawn into Est. I knew a lot of people in Marin County who were always going around with the guru look and trying to hush everybody up with their Est toilet training. They always tried it on me. It somehow didn't work. I wasn't raised in this area, and so therefore it had no effect upon me whatsoever. I saw them as mush-headed losers, by and large. But they were always like walking around with that sanctity about them that gets me sick. I don't like people who walked around with this sanctimoniousness. You know, there's a lot of people like that in the Jerry Brown administration, incidentally, former Est brainwashers. And, you know, it's interesting what I'm onto here. Many of these so-called progressives are former brainwashed cult members, whether it have been Est or some other New Age group. And what they have done is brought their brainwashing to politics, where anyone who disagrees with them is considered an antichrist, is considered evil, simply for having an alternate opinion. So if Jerry Brown, who is surrounded by many people who act as though they're still Est practitioners, as Obama, by the way, as are most of the leading Democrats, they're like cult figures. And the people they put around them are followers who never question them. And if anyone questions them on policy, they are considered evil rather than simply having a dissenting opinion. And if you look at the election going on in America today, the Democrats are behaving like a cult. Follow what I'm saying. Anyone who doesn't buy the party line about green energy, this and that, is somehow an evil person, not someone who's a pragmatist. You see what I'm saying? So if you want to continue on this line of thought, oh, here's a woman's calling. She works as an unprogrammer. Jeannie, welcome to the Savage Nation of Arizona. You're an unprogrammer? Or a deprogrammer.
Yes, I've been doing this work for almost 30 years, and everything you're saying today is absolutely true. I've actually infiltrated and helped 7 or 8 people get out of cults. I've had some cults in L.A. where several people that are still afraid after 20 or 30 years of being out of the cult, I help them undo their emotional attachment that still exists and the fear they have, as well as help people develop critical thinking again, because people have stopped thinking for themselves. And this is work I've done for a very long time. And
isn't it true that they become the very evil that they think that they're fighting?
Absolutely. And what happens is, if you challenge these people, which I've done, I've been shut out, I've been banned, I've been barred, I've been cut off from whole communities, because as soon as you begin to see through someone who is abusing, programming, putting people down, overbearing, and causing them to kind of repeat bumper sticker phrases as
right.
if that's from the teacher or the master or the guru or the head. And it doesn't matter if it's a corporation or a church or a department in somewhere. I've taught in corporations as well as I teach privately. And if unless you can help people return to within themselves, to ask themselves questions,
but most of them don't have any selves, Jeannie. They lost. They were people who were adrift without a self, and then they attached themselves to a guru, as the Democrats seem to be attaching themselves to Obama, and they live.
Yes, and what they do is they generally find and adhere to these things when they're at their weakest, when they're afraid, when they've been grief stricken, when they've had a loss, when they've been upset in some way, and then they try to reach out rather than correcting something within themselves and staying strong and anchoring. They look outside of themselves to try to find a savior.
Well, Jeannie, let's bring it back to politics. Of the two parties, would you agree with my theorem, to use a term that may not apply, but it is a theorem, my theory, that the Democrats seem more like a cult than the Republicans do?
I actually agree with you on so many things, and this is perfect, because anytime you listen to something without thinking, without researching, without finding out the truth, and when you're like a lemming going along with a group like a sheep, then mm-hmm. you have no thinking, and you are in the cult of sleepiness and arrogance and all of it.
Arrogance. Now, that's interesting. They're not humble people at all, cult members, are they? They're very arrogant, and they're very dangerous, by and large.
The other thing I see is they're extremely elitist. And when you have arrogance, elitist, and fear, it's the perfect storm for creating a cult system and environment. And I think that's what's happening to our country.
But would you say that Obama is like Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama rather than President Obama to many of his adherents?
I don't know what his sexual proclivities are, but
I made it very clear that other than the sexual proclivities of this man from Pune, Obama's a clean living married man, and we have to respect him for that. That's something we should thank God for after Bill Clinton's reign of terror. But I would say that his activities do very much, to me, mimic that of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama.
Well, I think more importantly and directly to the point for me, I can't really compare the two of them exactly, but what I do see is when you have lack of transparency, when you have covert action, not only that, a lot of times in one of the cults that I had infiltrated and helped people get out of, everyone becomes a police on everyone else. Everyone tells on everyone else.
Oh, like a little, that's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. So in that regard, yes, it's a closed shop.
Yes. And if you leave, and if you challenge, I had an experience here in Arizona with a church, if you challenge the person who's running things to keep in control, overpower, what they use is they use bullying, they use threatening, and they use divide and conquer. To this day, I have not seen a brother of mine who's still in a cult. No, he's over now in Hawaii. It started in L.A., it went into Austin, now it's in Hawaii. And the man is still abusing, and he is still developing, and my brother is under that mist of misperception, which is what I call it.
You know, this is a very intriguing topic. I don't think anyone in the country has yet defined the Democrats the way I have done so today, as a sort of cult rather than a political party. I think I'm onto something here. And I want to thank you very much for, number one, being a deep programmer and joining us in our conversation in the Savage Nation. I want you to analyze what I've asked, not tongue-in-cheek, by the way, but dead seriously, with dead seriousness. Isn't the Democrat Party closer to a cult than the Republican Party? Look at their belief system. Look how if you... Well, let's take the idea of climate change. If you dare challenge it with science, such as... I'll give you some scientific answer in a minute. You're considered an apostate. You're considered somebody who is beyond the pale because they won't even answer you. They just say it's known. It's known knowledge. Now, by definition, science has no such answers. In other words, the process of science requires constant discovery and constant discussion, constant give and take. So when you hear Obama and the top Democrats who are all science illiterate saying, all scientists agree that global warming is caused by man, you know that they're not giving you a statement that is scientifically correct. It's a complete lie. I was at a dinner the other night, and the guy said to me, I guess he was challenging me nicely. He asked me one question. He said, what do you think about climate? He didn't even say climate change. He said, what do you think about climate? So I put down my calamari and my fork, and I said, well, I guess you're asking me about so-called climate change. My answer is quite direct. I said, I rely upon the core drillings in Antarctica. And his eyes went wide with astonishment that I knew what I was talking about. Yes, I said, yeah, they've done core drillings in Antarctica. He says, yes, I know. He said, which have shown that the Earth warmed many, many times in the past, including millions of years ago, long before. And I said, what? Long before Henry Ford was here on Earth? Yes. In other words, there have been cycles in history owing to various and sundry phenomena that have nothing to do with man that have warmed the earth to the point of annihilating life on earth in some cases. Now, that's a scientific fact of reality. But you can't tell that to the warmists. The warmists are cultists, and they do not want any science that stands in the way of their belief system. And Obama is, in that sense, a guru. This just came out minutes ago, his updated news minutes ago. Zachariah suspended by CNN for copying another writer's work. Bingo. Columnist and TV host Fareed Zachariah, you know that pompous fool on CNN, is apologizing right now for lifting paragraphs by another writer for use in his column in Time magazine. Zachariah said in a statement Friday, August 10th, he made a, quote, terrible mistake and said it was entirely my fault. Time magazine said it has suspended Zachariah for 1 month pending further review. So in other words, pages in Zachariah's column about gun control first appeared in Time's August issue, and paragraphs from an article by Harvard University history professor Jill Lepore published in April in the New Yorker. So in other words, he plagiarized. So that's Time editor at large and CNN host Fareed Zachariah has been suspended by both the magazine and the network for stealing several paragraphs by another writer for his use in a recent Time column. He shouldn't feel bad because he's in very good company. He now joins a famed presidential historian whose name I forget, who is quoted all the time. Every time she gets on a television, she tells you that Obama is one of the greatest presidents on earth. But she herself was caught in a plagiarism scandal. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So, I mean, if you have cult horror stories, you can still call me on the Savage Nation because I've compared Obama to Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama, and I say that the party of the Democrats has become more like a cult rather than a political party. I'm now going to shift a little bit. On my website, which I want you to go to right now, if you have a computer, go to michaelsavage.com. I posted a picture called, well, it's of me in high school on a rifle team. Michael on his high school rifle team, and there's a picture with a little, I wrote on the picture, me. I'm the third from the right, next to the old man, God, I must have been 15 years old. But notice we all had guns in our hand. I believe we were shooting Mossberg 22s in the basement of a New York City high school, of all places. Nobody ever killed anybody. Nobody ever shot themselves. This is long before they came up with antipsychotic medication and New Age philosophy. And the teachers were all ex-World War II or Korean veterans. We respected them. They respected us. Mostly they taught us to respect the weapon. So it says Michael and his high school rifle team, and then you click on it, and it goes to my book, Train Tracks, American Stories for the Holidays, which will be published right after the election, pub date November 6th. It's actually a day before the election. I've discussed it with the publisher. I said, why are you publishing a book the week of the election? Anyway, that's what they decided. And the description is, millions of listeners admire Michael Savage for his devotion to traditional family values, and they love the personal stories he shares with them on his wildly popular radio show. That's what this book is about. Savage writes in the preface, it's about tradition, it's about families, it's about being together through thick and through thin with all of the anger, the hostility, the confusion. That's what life is. And so therefore, that's what this book is about. Savage calls his collection Train Tracks because each story is like a set of tracks that runs through the course of his life from his childhood to the present. I can't read any more because I'm almost out of time. I hope you enjoy reading them. I hope you enjoy going to my website and seeing the link from my high school rifle team picture. And most importantly, I hope you click on Amazon and order the book now to make certain that you have it in time for the holidays.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome. If you just joined the Savage Nation, I've stumbled upon a new truth that I think will shake up the political landscape. And my theory is quite simple, that Obama is not so much like a modern politician as he is a cult leader, and the Democrat Party is more like a cult than a political party. And I've compared him to Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama, in that the followers, the adherents of Obama, compare him to an Indian mystic guru and spiritual teacher. They actually believe that he is a guru. And anyone who questions their guru, Obama, is considered a bad person. What's interesting is that the Wall Street Journal, I just found an article by them called The Postmodern President. The challenge is finding anything his campaign says that is true. Now, I want to read you one paragraph of the WSJ. President Obama spent his formative years in academia, so he's no doubt familiar with postmodernism, the literary theory that rejects objective reality and insists instead that everything is a matter of interpretation and relative truth. At any rate, he's running the first postmodern presidential campaign, now organized almost exclusively around allegations about his opponent that bear no relation to the observable universe. In other words, he and his cohorts are absolute liars. They lie about everything. They lie about Obama, but they're not challenged by the liars in the media, because all those people in the media, like Zachariah, who just got fired, was suspended from CNN for copying, are themselves products of the universities and of postmodernism, which means lie if you can get away with it. There's no such thing as reality. And so I have to go back to my theory that Obama's like a guru and that the Democrat Party is as close to a cult as anything I have ever seen in my life. And I've compared Obama to Osho, who was the short name for Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh, the man with the Rolls Royces and the women in purple up in Oregon. And as you well know, he was kicked out of the country because of a bioterror attack mainly food contamination on citizens in Oregon. He was eventually arrested, charged with immigration violations, and deported from the U.S. In accordance with a plea bargain, and he went back to Pune, India, where he died in 1990. His ashram is still in India, in I think it's in India. It's known as the Osho International Meditation Resort. It may be in Oregon, for all I know. It could be somewhere in Oregon. But the cult of Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama, no longer connected to the Democrat Party, believes in just lying. And they get away with it because there's no free press. There's an own press. And instead of being watchdogs, the press has become nothing but lapdogs, as I've said. And so therefore, I must ask you, if you yourself were a member of a cult, whether it be Est or some other cult, and have you eventually broken free of it? Liberalism is itself sort of a cult. Liberalism is a cult. Let's take it beyond the Democrat Party for a moment. Belief systems that are founded upon false principles and are not to be challenged are by definition cult-like. The belief systems of liberalism are all based upon cult-like thinking, which is not thought at all. It is simply groupthink. And anyone who challenges any one of your doxies or your doctrines, you usually are taught not to answer them with any logic. You're taught to either ignore them or continue to repeat what's been drummed into you, in other words. So again, let's take the big lie of global warming, which they now call climate change. And their theory is that it's all caused by man's activities. We have to go to battery-powered cars and bicycles. We all have to eat vegetarian. In other words, we have to become good little communist robots in order for the world to be safe for the future generations. So you start by challenging it and you say, look, there's a lot of scientists and very good ones who don't buy into the fact that mankind has caused this slight uptick in warming. And here's some evidence. They immediately deny the evidence and they go to the Al Gore playbook of lies and they say, all reputable scientists state that the earth is warm because of man's activities. Well, that's simply not true. First of all, by definition, that can't be true because not all reputable scientists agree with that. So by definition, they're lying. That's number one. It's a cult statement. It's not a statement of science. Now, you have to understand that ultimately it's all about money. Like all cults, it's always about money. All cults are about stealing from people with lies. That's what a cult is all about. They find weak-willed people to work for them, and they steal from good people, and they use it for their own advantages, just like the Democrat Party, just like the so-called Greenies. The Green Revolution is one of the greatest scams in the history of the universe. Take a look at the money given to these fake solar firms by Obama in California. You've heard the word Solyndra. It's only one of many. Trillions of dollars have been given to Obama's cronies in the fake solar business. And why do they do it? They give you the lie that they're doing it for the sake of the environment, to save the earth, to save the polar bears. And if anyone challenges them, they say you're a bad person, you're unscientific, you're a throwback, and you want to kill polar bears and children. And that brings us right back to Obama as a cult leader. They have no values whatsoever. This is a gang. This is a cult. And unfortunately, we have on the other side a very nice Christian man named Romney who's sitting there like a bop bag, like an old Joe Palooka bop bag. He gets hit and he bounces back to take it again. And that's because Romney actually believes in his Christian teachings, which is, if someone slaps you in the cheek, in the face, turn the other cheek. So now, every time he's slapped by one of the gangsters in the Obama regime, Romney turns the other cheek and gets slapped again. Then he says, please don't hit me again. They hit him again. And he says, why don't hit me again? That's not fair. They slap him again. Well, can you please stop hitting me? They slap him again. Then he turns the other cheek. Again, he gets slapped in the other cheek. This is why Romney is not soaring. It's because he's too good a man. In fact, he may be too good a man for the business he's in. But unfortunately, we the American people have no alternative, do we? The nasty, dirty, filthy candidates who undermined Romney originally, I don't even have to mention them by name, they were some of the worst men I've ever seen on the planet. Newt Gingrich will go down in history as one of the greatest villains in the history of the Republican Party. Because most of the opposition research that the gang, the Obama gang, is using was in fact mined
by the evil Gingrich people. The evil Gingrich people handed the victory to Obama by destroying Romney before he even got in the ring with Obama. But that's a secondary story. Let's go back to the primary theory. We have a lying president, a lying administration, where there's no relationship to honesty or truth in anything that they say. They have TV commercials accusing Mitt Romney of killing a people. They have lies based upon hearsay evidence that Romney never produced tax records. Instead of counterattacking and saying, we'd like to see Obama's college records. We'd like to see how he got into Columbia. We'd like to see what he wrote to become the president of the Harvard Law Review. He doesn't do anything like that. He goes on and on with lies, on and on in lies, an entire pattern that tessellates across the entire Obama campaign. The same pattern. They go on and say Romney is a felon. They make it up as they go along, and Romney doesn't fight back. So Romney is sitting there taking it like a good Christian, while Obama is not so much trying to convince voters that he deserves to stay in office because of his communist philosophy, because of his record, because of his positive vision for the country. Obama's case is that he deserves to be reelected because Mr. Romney is worse than him. And he is worse than him, they say, because of the lies invented by the machine, the Chicago machine. And the entire theory of the Obama cult, the entire campaign of the Obama cult, is that the more outrageous the lie, the better. Because the more you repeat the lie, the more the left-wing rats in the media will repeat it. And the more they repeat the lie, the more true it becomes. And then we come to today and find out that this guy Zachariah on CNN, who always posed as some genius guru of international politics, was just suspended today because he's a plagiarist. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So I think I've covered the cult thing fairly well. I've made my point that the Democrat Party is more like a cult than a typical American political party. Obama's more like Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama than he is the President of the United States. And that if anyone challenges any of his lies, they're considered, well, bad people. So we can move on, I think. Now, I want to go to my website, michaelsavage.com, for a question. I posted a picture an hour ago of me on the rifle team in 1957. Now, remember, this is in New York City. This is a rare picture. I found it just before the book was getting put together, right? So there I am, and there's a little check over my head. It says me. Has anyone gone to the website and seen it? Okay, I don't know any of these other guys on the rifle team. I don't know if they're living. I don't know if any of them became gangsters, criminals, Democrats, lawyers, doctors, Indian chiefs. I have no idea. Is anyone listening to this show, if you're on michaelsavage.com, do you recognize yourself in that photo? I mean this. I absolutely mean this. I mean, I think I see a guy in the bottom right with owly glasses who I vaguely remember holding a Mossberg 22. I think his name was Howie. Is there anyone from Boca Raton or that area, perhaps in an assisted living facility or walking around the street? Are you going to an early bird? It's not, it's too late already. It's 7:22 p.m. in Florida. It's way late. I mean, these guys are asleep if they're even there. Most guys my age are either in the grave or they're feeble. I don't understand what keeps me going. Like, and everybody, with my cholesterol and my hypertension. Is there anyone listening? We have two open lines for anybody who was on the high school rifle team with me. Is anyone there? Does anyone recognize anyone? Brothers? Cousin? No. Dead. I figured maybe someone in Florida, New York would go onto the site and see themselves. Now, I have a question for the audience. Why do you think kids like me in 1957 were able to have a rifle? A whole team had rifles in the basement of a high school in New York City, and nobody ever used the rifle on themselves or on anyone else. Why is that? What is the fundamental thing that's happened to America that kids now cannot be trusted with guns? Tell me the answer to that. I can give you five reasons. And I'm going to start with one reason. I'm looking at that picture of me on the rifle team, which is going to be in my book, Train Tracks, coming out November 6th from Harper and HarperCollins. And it's Christmas stories, really. You know, childhood stories, which many of you like, and most of them have never been heard on the radio. I will tell you one of the main reasons. Every kid on that team either went to church or synagogue, and every one of them had the Ten Commandments drilled into their head. Every kid with a gun in their hands was taught, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, etc. That doesn't mean that everyone followed the Ten Commandments, but it was drummed into our heads. When we went to high school, the Ten Commandments were seen in our high school. Now speed the camera forward to the vermin in the ACLU, the atheists who hate Christians in particular, the vermin who hate America, the vermin who hate traditional families, and take a look at the product of their teachings. Look what's happened to this country. The children don't even know who they are. The children don't have any values. The children don't know north from south, east from west. The children have no morality. The children don't know how to behave. The children don't even understand what life is itself. The children have no respect for life, all because of atheism, which is one of the most dangerous of all religions. And make no mistake about it, atheism is a religion of no religion. But nevertheless, it's a powerful teaching. And it has penetrated, poisoned the minds of millions of people. And I would say that one of the main reasons the boys on that high school rifle team, who I am pictured with on MichaelSavage.com in 1957, Queens PSAL championship team under the auspices of Mr. Thomas. See Mr. Thomas quietly next to me with the two guys. There's a tall guy on the right, and then there's Mr. Thomas with gray hair, and then there's me. I have a check over my head. Me. Has anyone seen this yet? Has anyone listening to the show gone to my website and say, yes, Mike, no, Mike? Say something, for God's sakes. I don't know who I'm talking to anymore. I hope you're listening. Okay, so one of the reasons we never shot ourselves or anyone is because we were taught the Ten Commandments. Number two, nobody used drugs. Not one kid on that team was a drug user. Nobody ever used drugs. Pot didn't come in yet. That was only in the musician class and the bums in the West Village. Nobody else smoked marijuana in 1957 except bums and junkies. The junkies used it to come down off heroin, but basically it had not penetrated the high schools. So we learned the Ten Commandments. There was no drug usage. We almost all came from traditional homes, mother and father. Usually the father worked and the mother was the homemaker. And she kept that home together. She made sure you did your homework. She made sure you went to school clean and you didn't have pants hanging down under your buttocks. I don't have to spell it out for you. Okay, that was a homemaker. We don't have them anymore, by and large. Reason number three. Four or five. You can name all the reasons, but I don't think I have to do it for you. New York, James. You are on my rifle team? James in New York on WOR. Welcome back. I know that I was preempted for an hour for a movie preview. James, you're listening to me in New York City. Were you on my rifle team or another one?
Oh, no, I was on Hamilton's rifle team. Maybe you
I'm
went
sorry,
to...
which rifle team?
For you, but I wanted to talk about, like what you were saying... I came from a traditional family where we, you know, there was a respect for each other, and my coach.
But wait, no, I hear you, and I'm not ridiculing it at all. James, which rifle team were you on?
Alexander Hamilton.
And where is that? Was that in Brooklyn? Had rifles in Brooklyn?
Yes, we did. And I was there. I had a.
Rifles in Brooklyn are the Crips and the Bloods and the MS-13. They're allowed to have one rifle.
We had.
If they have tattoos on their neck, they're given a rifle by the government. The government lets them walk around with a rifle in their car.
I was able to take it home. I just had to just remove the bolt, and I had a case for it. They issued us a case.
You're right. I remember now. We could take it home without the bolt. That's right. Now you can't take it home without the bolt. Instead, you go home like adult.
Savage.
I felt really crowded on my chair. It was packed. It was crowded. I was squeezed in. I never had that feeling.
Let's hold it. We're listening to the whisperings of Nancy Pelosi. And I've been talking about the Democrat Party as a cult and Obama as the guru. And I'm going to play for you now Nancy Pelosi. And if you don't believe that she sounds like a sort of a brainwashed member of a cult, who's actually quite crazy. Now, remember, this woman was third in line to ascend to the presidency at one point. She held a hammer. This is the woman who forced Obamacare down our throats by buying votes, by giving money to build bridges to nowhere. Every illegal means known to mankind and to cults she used. Now, here's a woman who is still possibly, if God forbid Romney loses, and it could happen because he's running such a terrible campaign, and Obama wins again, Pelosi could become speaker again. Listen to the cult member, Nancy Pelosi.
I felt really crowded on my chair. It was packed. It was crowded. I was squeezed in. I never had that feeling before. And then all of a sudden I realized that sitting on that chair with me in that room were all the suffragettes, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Lucretia Mott, Susan B. Anthony, Sojourner Truth, Alice Paul. They were all on that chair with me. It was very tight.
Which chair?
And I could hear them say, at last, we have a seat at the table.
Wow. She's such an oppressed woman. You see, that's the thing I told you earlier. Remember when I told you about the superior virtue of the oppressed, the great essay written in 1952 by Bertrand Russell, which changed my whole view of the world? I was about 10 years old. I read The Superior Virtue of the Oppressed by Bertrand Russell, and I finally got it, that people who call themselves oppressed or think that they're oppressed somehow think they can get over on everybody because they have self-righteousness. This is Nancy Pelosi, one of the most powerful, one of the richest women on the planet, acting as though she's oppressed, and it's the evil white male who's standing in her way. It's unbelievable to me how this confirms what I've been saying to you all day, the cult. Now, since it's Friday and many of you don't want to, you know, really, you know, it's hot, you're sweating, it's August, you wish you were somewhere on a yacht somewhere in the Mediterranean, they're not in the Caribbean. Everyone's in the Mediterranean, they're in where'd they go? In they're Esmeralda, everyone's in Esmeralda now. Now it's Esmeralda in what island is that? Where Napoleon was exiled, I forgot already. Where was he exiled? Not Elba. Elba's beautiful. Corsica's nice, but no, he's not. They're all in Esmeralda on their yachts right now. All the rap stars rent a yacht for the week, and then they live large, and they come back and they vote for Obama. They say they're down with the poor people. Soon Obama will go on his vacation with all the poor people on Martha's Vineyard. So what we did for you, and I need to make you laugh a little bit because you've had a rough day. It's been a very tough day for my listeners because we've been talking about the Democrat Party as a cult rather than as a political party. Obama more like Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama than like President Obama. And the lies that come out of his campaign on such a regular basis that it doesn't matter to them anymore. As the Wall Street Journal said, the challenge is finding anything his campaign says that is true. And that's true. There's no question about that. Everything this man says and does is a living lie. The problem is Romney's too good a man, and he won't fight back. He turns the other cheek till there's no cheeks left to turn. That's my opinion. We need a street fighter. Instead, we have gentleman Jim Corbett. They're fighting with bare knuckles, and he has 16-ounce gloves on. How many different ways do I have to put it to you? He's fighting by a set of rules which say no kicking in the spine. He's getting kicked in the spine and the back of the neck, and he's still standing there saying, put him up. With 16-ounce gloves on. This is the problem. I had a dream about Romney last night. Do you know that? You're never going to believe it. You know how I go into dreams? Yes, I do. I'm like Nancy Pelosi in that regard. Now, I don't believe I was sitting on a chair with George Washington and Jefferson and things like that. In fact, I would probably call 911 if I ever had a vision like Nancy Pelosi did. I'd have to call 911 and ask to be relieved of my duties. So I didn't have such a thing, but I had a dream. I swear to God, take it for what it's worth. Sometimes I go into psychic states, semi-psychic states, or just dream states, whatever you want to say, right? And I dreamed that Romney was Lincoln. I actually dreamed that Mitt Romney was the modern-day Lincoln. Would you believe that? Like such a decent man. Now, Lincoln was not such a decent man. He's a pretty vicious, horrendous murderer, incidentally. But image-wise, I somehow morphed Romney with Lincoln. If you actually study Lincoln, he was a ruthless politician. Ruthless. He decimated the South for no reason. He had his generals burn southern cities to the ground. He was a ruthless, horrendous murderer. And yet he's seen as, you know, the great liberator. Now, what you have to see the bigger picture. There have been arguments about the Civil War that say it had nothing to do with slavery or very little to do with slavery. It had to do with an economic war between the North and the South. I don't want to go into that right now because it's really irrelevant. What's relevant is the fact that I dreamed that Romney was Lincoln, which is interesting to me. That in my inner mind, he's coming across as sort of a tragic figure. Do you understand that? That's the whole point. Romney is beginning to look like a tragic figure. Now, we're no longer living in 1860. In 1860, if you had a tragic look about you, it was somewhat appealing to a nation that still had morality, still understood that there was a God in heaven, and sympathized with a man who had a tragic look about him. But America no longer has sympathy for anyone with a tragic look. Instead, they just put him on welfare and don't invite him to Harvey Weinstein's parties. Today, everybody wants a winner. They want a fake winner with fake teeth, fake cheeks, fake eyes, fake hair, fake buttocks, fake biceps, fake heart, fake soul. In other words, they want a complete phony. And Romney is starting to look like a tragic figure. And therefore, we have real trouble on our hands. Because the liar on the other side is not looking at all defeated. And that's because the man thrives on lies and thrives on inventing things. And he actually knows he's winning by lying. And that's because he owns the media. The reason Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh is happy is because Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama owns the media. Now, look what just happened with CNN. Did you see the story today? It's a huge story. They were already plummeting their ratings in the garbage, right? Garbage. Terrible. But the article came out about an hour ago or a few hours ago. My article, Michael and his high school rifle team, Napolitano favored women pals for jobs. Yeah, I'm shocked by that. Where is this article about Zachary? Here, CNN host caught plagiarizing. Time magazine has suspended his column. Remember Zachary always like had a self-righteousness about him and a pseudo-intellectualism? Well, apparently he lifted passages out of a New Yorker article as his own. Fareed Zachary is an Indian-American journalist and author. He was a columnist, blah, 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 and now he works for CNN. Well, he got dumped today. In 2010, the government of India honored him with the Padma Bhushan for his contribution towards journalism. That's a heck of a statement. Zachary was born in Mumbai, then Bombay, in India, to a Konkani Muslim family. Uh-huh. India Muslim. Now you know why he went to the head of the class. Now you know why he was hired by CNN. Now you know why there's no criticism of Obama on CNN. You understand? His father was a politician and an Islamic scholar. So, okay, the rest is history. Now, of course, he should be thrown out of CNN for good, and he should never be listened to again. But as you well know, although he defines himself as a centrist, he's a far radical leftist. He's not at all a moderate. In fact, the only people who believe in him would be people like George Stephanopoulos, who would think that he's a reasonable man. So there's nothing more you could say about that. The fact of the matter is he was found plagiarizing today. And Zachary gave commencement addresses to the 2012 graduating classes of the brainwashed idiots at Harvard, the brainwashed fools at Duke University, which were criticized by Boston Globe for being identical. Oh, oh, the man isn't even changing his speeches now. In August 2012, Zachary was accused of plagiarism for a piece on gun control in Time magazine that bore similarities to an April 2012 article by Jill Lepore in The New Yorker. He subsequently apologized, but his column was suspended from the magazine for 1 month pending review. He was then suspended from CNN due to his admission of plagiarism. Earlier, Jeffrey Goldberg accused Zachary of lifting quotes from his interview without attribution. And also, he's been doing this. The editors of The New Republic included him in a November 2011 list of overrated thinkers and commented, "There's something suspicious about a thinker always so perfectly in tune with the moment." Aha. So there have been others who have been on to this Zachary. But he's done very, very well for himself. Very, 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 very well. Very, very well. Move right to the head of the class like someone we know. Why do you think Fareed Zachary, the son of an Islamic scholar, was moved to the head of his class and made such a genius on CNN? Answer, for the same reasons that Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama was admitted to Columbia, admitted to Harvard, and then basically admitted to the presidency by the powers that be. And I come back to my primary point, which is that the Democrat Party today looks to me more like a cult than it does like a political party. And Obama looks more like a guru than he does like a president. And I've given you examples why. Now, before I take the break and we go come back for the last burst of your calls here in this hour, I'd like to entertain you on the Savage Nation by replaying the Nancy Pelosi clip with some spooky sound effects tied around it to give you a good chuckle. Let's listen.
As he was graciously welcomed us, as I mentioned, I felt really crowded on my chair. It was packed, it was crowded. I was squeezed in. I never had that feeling before. And then all of a sudden I realized that sitting on that chair with me in that room was were all the suffragettes. Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Lucretia Mott, Susan B. Anthony, Sojourner Truth, Alice Paul. They were all on that chair with me. It was very tight. And I could hear them say,
"At last, we have a seat at the table."
So here we go. We're back to the callers on the Savage Nation. We've been talking about the Democrat Party as a cult with Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama as the guru. If you come to California, you've got Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Brown with the Democrat cult. No opposition permitted. Anyone who says a word is sort of like, I don't know, they're considered apostates because Governor Brown, as you well know, is not a traditional governor. He's a guru. He always has been a guru type. And he surrounds himself with kind of S-type people, sort of, kind of. I'm using their phraseology. That's what you hear today, sort of. The parlance, sort of, has crept into the language of the media, where almost every phrase is sort of, kind of. Kind of girl talk from the universities, sort of, kind of, girl talk. It's equivalent to the word gravitas that was used. Remember it was overly used for a while in the media, gravitas? Everyone had to say gravitas, guys like... Fareed Zakaria had to say gravitas every few sentences. Now they say sort of. Listen carefully to people in the media, and they use the phrase sort of or kind of. You'd think you're at a sort of coffee or tea or beer bust at Radcliffe when you listen to the postmodern media types. Let's go to the callers. Sacramento, Clifton, welcome to the Savage Nation.
What's up with you, Michael? Top of the day to you, my brother. Hey, before I get to my point, I'd like to address your analogy about the cultism of the Democratic Party and the actual cult, you know, environment. If you look at Jim Jones, there's a commonality between what happened with him. It came from the belly of the beast, right out of San Francisco, where he preyed on all those old people and Hunters Point, Bayview and all of that. And the commonality between that is the communism of it. All for one and all for all. You sell all your property and you give it to the esteemed leader. And that type of mentality. You understand what I'm saying, Michael?
Yeah. Well, it's starting to fit the pattern of the Democrats.
It exactly is. And the thing I have about Mitt Romney in this presidential election that's going on, Mike, is that, you know, Obama could come up here and tell all these lies and scurrilous accusations against this guy that's unfounded. And if Mitt Romney had any background, what he would do is he'd say, "I'm calling a press conference announcing the slander charges that I'm bringing against the President of the United States."
Clifton, he doesn't have to announce slander. He's got to say, "Here are the 10 lies that Obama has told. Here are the 10 scandals that Obama's been involved in. Here are the trillions of dollars that are unaccounted for. Here are the tunnels and highways to nowhere that his cronies are building. Here are the fake solar companies that have profited to the tune of $3 trillion since this man seized power." But we're never going to get that from Mitt Romney. Never. Because he's too good a Christian. He's turning the other cheek. He's taken his Christianity literally. He cannot take it literally. He's got to fight back. And God only knows when he's going to start doing it. I don't believe people say he's saving his powder. I don't believe that at all. Many of you thought that was true. We're already into August. This is already August 10th. What is he saving it for? You know what round of the election this is? I would say that this is like a, they don't have 15-round fights anymore, do they? They're like 12ers? I don't know. There used to be 15-round heavyweight fights. They were the most brutal fights you've ever seen in your life. And by the last three rounds, the best of them were hanging on each other. They couldn't lift their hands, right? So I would say that this is a 15-round heavyweight fight between Obama and Romney. And we are at least in the 10th or 11th, if not, well, 11th round of this fight. And Romney is losing, and he's losing on points. And that's because he's not fighting. He hasn't knocked Obama down once. And the only way he's going to win is to take the gloves off and start attacking. He cannot sit there and play defense. Now, why is Romney playing defense instead of going on the offense to the liar, to the imposter in chief? Because the Beltway advisors that Romney has are the same type of advisors that Obama has. They could work for the Republicans during this campaign and the Democrats in the next campaign. They're shifting. They have no alliances. They have no loyalties. These are not people that you would think are diehard supporters of Mitt Romney. They're simply professional campaigners, and they're not advising him properly. And one of the reasons is they don't even know what you think, nor do they care what you think. You know what they're thinking? Hey, if I behave properly and I don't attack Obama, you know what? I've already got a job with Romney. Maybe after Romney loses, I could be useful to Obama. Do you understand what I just said to you? They're actually undermining him. The only way Romney survives is by getting rid of his entire campaign staff, throwing them out, firing them, every last one of them. And I'm not the only one who said this. I've been saying it for 6 months. Even Donald Trump said the same thing, and he and I don't communicate much. I haven't called him. He hasn't called me. We haven't had any cards or letters from him recently. We haven't had any meatloaf together. We haven't had any lettuce together. In fact, I haven't seen him since last Christmas in Florida at his club, the Mar-a-Lago Club. But, hey, look, I'm not the only one who sees what's going on. So let's talk about cults and the fact that Obama is a cult leader like Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh Obama. Do you agree with me or disagree with me that the Democrat Party today is more like a cult than a political party? Of course you agree with me, or you would have hung up already and gone listen to Farid Zakaria. The postmodern president, says the Wall Street Journal. The challenge is finding anything his campaign says that is true. President Obama spent his formative years in academia, so he's no doubt familiar with postmodernism, the literary theory that rejects objective reality and insists instead that everything is a matter of interpretation and relative truth. At any rate, Obama's running the first postmodern presidential campaign, now organized almost exclusively around allegations about his opponent that bear no relation to the observable universe. In other words, he's a liar, and the people who work around him are dirty, rotten liars as well. So you say, then why is he ahead in the polls? Because America has no media anymore. If we had an independent media, and what better evidence do I have to present to you today than this guy held up as a great intellectual, Farid Zakaria, was dismissed today for plagiarism. And the man worked for the Obama campaign in 08, right on CNN, he endorsed him. And he calls himself a moderate. They own the media. The Democrat cult and the Democrat media is the most dangerous. Well, I'll let you fill in the blanks.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
What's on MichaelSavage.com and today's stories. A new lawsuit says Napolitano favored her girlfriends, excuse me, her women pals for jobs. A less qualified woman has enjoyed a longstanding relationship with Big Sis, according to the lawsuit by a man who was pushed around by the women under Big Sis. Yeah, any other administration, she'd be toast. DOJ will not prosecute Goldman Sachs. Russia calls Madonna an aging whore. Pelosi swears the spirit of Susan B. Anthony spoke to her and sat in the chair with her. Oh, boy. Iran's nuclear program is designed to finish off Israel. A horrible new ad depicts Representative West punching white women. This is the sad state of affairs. This is how low the degenerates on the Democrat side will go. California school district will spend $1 billion to borrow $100 million to keep the unions happy. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? California official replaced after killing a cougar. Obama administration pays illegals to come here. Michael Savage is number two in shows streamed on the web. Streamed on the web. The most influential show in radio is number one. I'm the second most influential radio show on the web. You want to see the hottest women of the 2012 Olympics? Well, it's on my website. How about your government at work? A road crew painted a yellow line over a smashed dead raccoon on a highway. They didn't even notice the animal was there. There's your government at work. Obama's approval has slipped to 43%. Huntsman to speak at Dem convention. Big Sis favored gal pals. Ad on Spanish TV hits Obama for deporting too many illegals. What else is on this? Well, it's all of this is going to be on MichaelSavage.com, I'll tell you that. And now for some great sound that we have for you today on the Savage Nation. Listen, if you haven't heard it, Obama is against deregulation. He wants more regulation, meaning more red tape.
When you talk to your friends and your neighbors, some of them may think, you know, we'll be better off if we cut taxes for the wealthy and get rid of every regulation, set our sights lower, and stop providing the kind of assistance we need to kids to go to college. You know, and you know, you've got to tell them, look, if you think that's going to work better, that's how democracy works, you should vote for those other folks. You feel free to try to send them to Washington. But I believe, and you believe, we've come too far to turn back now.
Obama says politics are our only problem, and then he blames the other party.
What is standing in our way right now isn't the lack of technical solutions or good plans. What's standing in our way is the politics in Washington. Folks who think compromise is a dirty word. Folks who think the only thing we can do to grow the economy is to go back to the same top-down economics that got us into this mess in the first place.
He has a Bloomberg columnist that says by repealing Obamacare would mean, well, we would all die, I guess.
What the press should be focused on is what are the consequences of repeal of Obamacare? And the consequences, as Mike just indicated, are death. Repeal equals death. People will die in the United States if Obamacare is repealed. That is not an exaggeration. That is not crying fire. It's a simple fact.
You say, well, who cares? Well, I don't know. What do you care about? Black pastors are saying Obama doesn't have the black vote in his pocket, even though he thinks he does. And they say that his support for homosexual marriage may cost him the election amongst blacks. Do you believe that? CNN clobbered again in ratings fight. Down by double digits across the board. Is it any wonder when you got people wearing love beads behind the scenes at CNN? Yes, they still wear love beads behind the scene at CNN. Yes, they are so into Obama's pocket that they can't even smell the lint. Ann Romney slammed for a $990 shirt while Michelle Obama was praised for wearing a $6,800 jacket. Is it any wonder people hate the liberal media? Ann Romney was attacked for wearing a $990 shirt a while ago, while the rats in the media look the other way when Michelle Obama appears wearing a $6,800 jacket. Is it any wonder that CNN is clobbered again in ratings fight? This is the Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
Tell you something I'd like to talk about on this summer day, since most normal people have turned off about the election. They've already tuned out of the election. They'll tune back in somewhere again here and there when something pops up. They're basically watching the Olympics or doing things with their families, or they're on vacation. They could care less about a Muslim mob attacking a bar for serving alcohol during Ramadan in Indonesia. They could care less about Israel. They could care less about illegals who come to America and are committing one crime after another, despite Obama's protection of them. They don't really care. I guess what they think about is, you know what I mean? Let me get through the day. Let me enjoy myself. And I could care less. I can't control it. So let me ask you kind of a hobby question. One of my hobbies is cars. It has been. I mean, I've been a car nut, as it were, since I've been a kid. Going way, way back to my first car, 1955 Oldsmobile two-door salesman's model. I've written about it in my forthcoming book, Train Tracks, which are my memoirs, ranging all the way back. Most of the stories you've never heard on the radio. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Let me ask you to buy a hobby car, a classic. What would it be? A Chrysler, Chevy, Lincoln, Chevy, Duesenberg, Packard, Chrysler, LaSalle? Would it be a Buick, a Bugatti, a Porsche, a Dino, a Ferrari, a Chrysler, an Alfa, an Aston, a DKW, a Chevy, a Columbia, a Cadillac? Do you have a favorite that you would buy if you could, or have you bought a favorite? I was shocked, for example, to see the other day that a 57 Eldorado Biarritz, which is really a truck of a car, sold for $160,000. It's hard to believe. The estimate went for as high as 2.25. Nevertheless, someone paid $160,000 for a 57 Caddy. Look, I own a 65. You know, they stink up the garage. Here's a 57 Chevy Corvette for $120,000. A 57 Chevy Corvette is a nice car, but you could buy a new Corvette for $60,000. Why would you want a 57 Chevy Corvette for twice the price? I don't know. People want these things. Here's a Chrysler 300C from 1955, sold for $80,000. A truck of a car, but people seem to want the Hemi. I don't think you want to talk about cars, but if you do, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Any topic is fair game. So what I think I'm going to do right now is start taking calls cold, no matter what the topic is. Line one, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, you were talking about cars, and thank you for taking my call. I was just a 1970 Challenger RT with a piston grip with a full 40 under the hood and a six back on there.
But why would you like that car? Tell me what you like about that car.
Well, it was my first car, and that was there was a movie that came out of that era.
So wait, do you think that a lot of American males still have a car fetish or a love for cars? You know, you look at people, the kind of ugly little stinking boxes they're driving on the roads today. No style, no substance. Basic transportation, like little Euro socialist boxes with wheels. But a lot of guys seem to buy these collectibles. Why is that?
Well, because it takes you back to you. I'm 58 years old, and it takes me back to my youth day. And
would you rather talk about this than about Obama versus Romney, for example, right now for a few minutes?
I'd rather talk about politicians as well. I think that this year president is not doing hardly nothing at all for all of us in this country that we love and I even care about, because I even went out to Vietnam and fought for it. And this year, man, does not care one bit about the United States of America.
Well, if Obama were a car, what kind of car would he be? I would say he'd be a Chevy Volt. That needs to constantly be recharged in order to run more than 6 miles. Thanks for the call. Let's go to a political call. Julie in New York on WR. What's the political topic?
I just wanted to make a comment about a few years back. Kathy Lee Gifford was made out to be a monster in the media because she had teens making her clothes over in Latin America. I don't know if you remember that.
Yes.
She wound up having to leave the station and everything. But here we have
I'm sorry, we have underage people in China being stolen from their parents, forced to perform like trained SEALs, and there's no comment from the media, but you know why, don't you, Julie? What network is running the Olympics?
Oh, I get them confused. ABC.
It's one of the alphabet networks, right? So they have $1 trillion at stake in advertising revenue. Do you think any of their talking heads are going to criticize the Olympics based upon children being tortured to death in China in order to turn them into little robots? I don't think so.
Mm-mm.
No. But that's your point. I understand that. 1-800-449-8255. I noticed that Chick-fil-A is jammed right now. Apparently, those who are supporting the owners of Chick-fil-A are lining up around the block to buy their chicken because across the country, despite the fact that one of the moronic politicians in Chicago banned the company from Chicago because of their stance on traditional marriage. Now, Chick-fil-A locations across the nation are seeing people coming out to express support for the fast food chain after CEO Dan Cathy said in an interview that he is a firm backer of traditional marriage. He said, the fact of the matter is people are voting with their pocketbooks and they're buying Chick-fil-A. That's very interesting. It's a boom for them. And the fact is the mayors of Chicago and Boston heap scorn upon the company. The mayor of Washington, D.C. suggested it was peddling hate chicken. And yet these comments drew a sharp response from a coalition of African-American pastors headed by Reverend William Owens, who said, some people are saying that because of the position that Chick-fil-A is taking, they don't want them in their cities. He said, it is a disgrace. It is the same thing that happened when I was marching for civil rights, when they didn't want a black to come into their restaurant. That is a black pastor. That man has it exactly right. It just shows you the level of intolerance of the radical left, Mayor Bloomberg, who had it exactly right. Bloomberg said it's not his role to ban stores from his city. He got that one right, incidentally. 1-800-449-8255. We're talking about every topic under the sun. If you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. You saw the headlines. Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day brings out supporters. Bonus checks for GSA workers total far more than previously reported, revealed by a lawmaker. Obama popular in voter-rich states, but lagging in key battleground states. And, of course, the fact that children in China are being taken from their families as little babies if they show any sign of athleticism, and they're being trained to compete in the Olympics because it is not a state that believes in individual rights. It is not a nation, rather, that believes in human rights. It is a nation that believes in collectivism, collective rights, exactly what Obama believes in, exactly what Democrats believe in. When we tell you Obama is a statist, Obama believes in statism and big government, we are telling you he believes that China is doing the right thing in taking children away from their families to make them a pawn of the state. But maybe people have had enough of Obama and Romney for a few minutes. I don't know. They ask me some questions about cars, like about my Mercedes, if I really like it anymore. Ask me if I like my Cadillac anymore. Ask me if I like my Chevy van anymore. Ask me if I like the Ferrari 430 anymore. Ask me if I really would buy a Jaguar XK anything anymore. Ask me what's the point in an age like this to even get obsessed with a car. Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I said to a woman the other day, I really love my dog. She said, you can't love an animal. She said, that's crazy. She said, they're just animals. She said, they're nice, but you can't love them. I said, why can't you love them? Who said you can't love an animal? Do you think someone's crazy for loving an animal? I mean, many of you are animal lovers, but many of you aren't. Many of you think it's crazy. If you're from a traditional farm family, you never heard of loving an animal. You think people are crazy because you slaughter them and eat them, for example. They're just livestock to you, livestock. Yet to urban dwellers like myself, even though we eat livestock when it's in a package, I mean, we have a thing for animals. So it's a crazy world. It's a skitsy world, I admit it. There's no definitive answer. It's a world of billions of people. There's no one answer for all of this. Religious people don't love animals. Religious Muslims don't have dogs. So far as I know, religious Jews don't have dogs. Am I wrong about that? That the obsession with no animals is not limited to Muslims? That Orthodox Jews also don't have pets? I don't know. Is that true? I don't even know. I don't know if it's true. And Muslim cab drivers from, I believe, Somalia originally wouldn't pick up blind people in Milwaukee. Remember they were first let into the country because America is such a wonderful nation? They said, no, we're not picking up blind people because their dogs are dirty. We won't have them in our taxis. Yeah, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. Yeah, that was then. This is now. Now it's when in America, spit on the flag and tell them to go to you-know-where. Because they'll do what we want because it's a nation of wimps interested in sports, cars, dogs, women, and pornography. They have no spine. Well, they're making a big mistake. The Nazis thought the same thing about the American troops. They said that they could sweep us off the planet. The Japanese, who were fanatically great warriors, thought that the American troops wouldn't fight. And in the beginning, by the way, a lot of American troops, according to my reading of history, who were raised to be fair fighters and fair-minded, were shocked to find out that wounded Japanese that they were going to help often had grenades or shot them in the stomach. Well, that didn't last too long because then the American troops started shooting the wounded Japanese troops. You see, you can push a sucker around only so much, and then eventually the nice guy becomes a bigger murderer than you. Savage. A while ago, there was a law passed called the Anti-Occupy Act, okay? It was passed by Congress. It was signed into law. And it was meant to stop the occupiers from destroying private property. Now, the mainstream media has not even looked into this. But do you know that this law may actually affect free speech as we know it? Here we go again, unintended consequences. Joining us now with his view is Paul Samakow, columnist for the Washington Times and legal analyst. Paul Samakow, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, hi, Michael. Thank you so much for having me on again.
Well, what is the whole bugaboo? What's going on? It's not a good law. It is a good law. It's another law. What does it mean?
Well, Michael, actually, last March, something happened that really is just almost impossible to think of in today's political world. All but three elected representatives of our federal government voted in favor of a law that President Obama then signed and passed into force. Only three elected officials, all of those were members of the House of Representatives. All of the senators and all but three congressmen voted yes to pass the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act. And most have not heard of this because the press didn't give us any information. And I could opine as to why the press didn't give us any information, but that, again, would be just my opinion. Might be shared by millions, but who knows. But the point of the matter is that this law passed without any fanfare, without any knowledge, and when you come to learn what this law is, you, like most, I would imagine, like me, you will be outraged.
What is it about then?
The law was passed clearly in reaction to the Occupy movement that was going on in our country last year. And the timing of it, interesting, was very coincidental. It was presented to the Senate after House passage on November the 17th, 2011, this was right at the culmination of a nationwide effort to stop the Occupy Wall Street protests. Now, you may remember November 15th, 2 days before, hundreds and hundreds of New York police conducted a raid on the demonstrators' encampment. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, Zuccotti or Zuccotti Park, shutting it down and placing barricades. Well, very quickly after that, the Senate moved it through the process as it has, and has actually marched that President Obama passed this law.
What is the law?
This law makes you subject to arrest and possible conviction if you are disorderly or disruptive, or if you impede or disrupt the orderly conduct of government business or official functions. And it makes it punishable by up to, are you ready for this, 10 years in jail to protest anywhere the Secret Service is or will temporarily be visiting, or anywhere they might be guarding someone. Now, I have to stop and wonder about this because of the very nature of the Secret Service. Does the word secret mean anything? They're secretive. We don't know they're there. And yet, if I want to go to a political rally where some candidate for office in East pick the city or West pick the city is stumping to become reelected or to be elected for the first time, and I don't like this politician, there's a good chance that the Secret Service is there and I wouldn't even know about it. So I'm going to go and boo. Boo, you're horrible. No, the other candidate's better. Well, I could be arrested because that could be considered disruptive.
Unbelievable.
How many times has President Obama attended a concert or an elected official who deserves Secret Service protection attended a sporting event? Well, that's where the Secret Service are. So now I'm a football fan and Obama is there, let's say at the Super Bowl, or the Speaker of the House or Miss Pelosi is some event that wouldn't necessarily be political, and I'm a heckler of the other team. Potentially, I could be arrested because the Secret Service are there. This law is unbelievably, impossibly subject my words are being tied together here because of the anger that I'm feeling about the passage of this law and what it's doing to our Constitution's First Amendment rights.
What is it about then?
I think the law was designed because they just didn't know what to do with the Occupy movement. But there's another part of it that I think is really the motivation behind why this law passed. Again, take the example of what we have in front of us now all over the country. This is an election year. And you've got members of the left, members of the right, all kinds of people, members of the Northeast, members of the so-and-so society of whatever they are, trying to become our elected congressional Senate officials. You can't go and heckle or jeer or protest to a point where even anybody, some Secret Service or local police, doesn't believe that you're not being disruptive. So in my mind, it was a motivation that was 100% politically biased, and it was designed to silence people who would protest around politicians giving speeches. And both sides, the Dems and the Republicans, don't want anybody coming to their platform and booing them while they're trying to put forward their platform. So I think ultimately that is the reason, but it was motivated by, again, a handcuffing of our nation's elected officials as to really what to do with these protesters of the Occupy movement.
Why are we not hearing about this? I thought it was meant to stop the occupiers.
There's a lot of potential reasons, but do you recognize the press not talking about laws that are passed, federal laws? I mean, typically, if they affect us, we're going to hear about it. I mean, you're going to get a lot of newspaper coverage. So is this the political ability to stifle the press? I mean, I might think so. And the name of the act certainly isn't going to be something that any newspaper individual is going to pick up as something that they're going to have any interest in. So maybe even the name of the act was designed to hide what the act import is. Again, the name of the act, the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act. I mean, I might think that was some funding mechanism for, improving buildings. But the Restricted Buildings and Grounds Improvement Act, as it is identified, is designed to protect these buildings and the grounds and the people who were using them from hecklers.
Unbelievable.
I happened to find this, interestingly enough, because I'm a columnist for the Washington Times Communities online forum here in the Washington, D.C. area, connected to the Washington Times newspaper. And I was writing an article, and I found something about a protest that went on in China, actually in Hong Kong. Now, I know China and Hong Kong are different, and they have different laws and different governing bodies, but it captured my attention that a group of parents and educators, even parents bringing their children, were marching in front of government headquarters a couple of weeks ago in Hong Kong to publicly protest a new required patriotism class to be taught in the school system starting in a couple of years. And the effort is to allow the educators to bring the patriotism class into their system earlier if they want to do so. Well, the protesters of that had the interesting and maybe strange tongue-in-cheek belief that the government there was trying to brainwash their kids in favor of communism. And it struck me, you know, I mean, look at what goes on in Hong Kong. And again, I know this isn't mainland China, but you'd think that that kind of protest right there in front of a government building about something as basic as what's going on in their children's schools in that communist environment would be shut down so quick that you couldn't blink fast enough. Yet that goes on. Now here in the United States, the land of the free, all kinds of rights granted by the First Amendment, now those rights are being cut off at the knees by this legislation. It just struck me as just absolutely just beyond words.
This is unbelievable to me. What can we, the people, do?
This is something that, you know, I wish I was smart enough to have an answer for, quite honestly. I mean, I wish I knew how to get this act reversed. What's going to happen is somebody is going to do something, they're going to be arrested, and this is going to be a test case, and it's eventually, hopefully, going to wind its way up to the Supreme Court, who's going to look at this and say, you've got to be kidding me, this is unconstitutional, and this act will fall. But until that happens, the test case people are going to be like, you know, all of those who have practiced civil disobedience in our country for decades and decades and decades. They're going to have to go through some personal tragedy, if you will, in suffering arrest and being handcuffed and maybe even put in jail until this bad law can be changed.
Where can we read more?
Well, I wrote an article, again, at the Washington Times Communities online forum. I believe the address is communities.washingtontimes.com/communities, or maybe I'm putting the word communities in there. If you go to the communities.washingtontimes.com and you look for Paul Samico, you'll see my columns are under the word L because my title is Leading Edge Legal News. So you scroll down the page, you can find me on that forum, click through to my articles, and my article is one of the top two or three right now in that list. And I can be reached through my website, which is my last name, Samico, so it's samicolaw.com, which is SAMAKOWLAW.com.
Paul Samico, thanks for being with us on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
You forgot about already because what can you do about it? Now the rebels, so-called, meaning the Islamists, are killing Assad loyalists in the most brutal manner. But you won't read that because the game is, if the word is rebel, it means they're good. They're James Dean and rebel without a cause. The morons at CNN and the rest of the vermin in the media who are so drugged up they don't even know what they've done to the world. Look at Anderson Cooper. The lowest ratings of all on CNN. Why? Because people remember him getting so gushingly excited over the boys in Egypt running around with Blackberries during the riots, that they didn't even realize that this guy was a moron. Anderson Cooper's just a pretty boy and a moron. So he thought he could get away with it by saying, oh, look at that. All the young people are protesting in Egypt. Look at that. They have Blackberries. This is a revolution. And look what we have there now, Islamists. Who did it? Anderson Cooper. What happened to him? His ratings are in the garbage can. CNN, because of their slavish worship of left-wing idiocy, their ratings are in the garbage. I don't have to tell you that America, by every poll, is center-right. It is not center-left. This country is more to the right than it is to the left. The last election that occurred, by the way, let me remind you, was not in 2008 when Obama stole the election through chicanery and people thinking he was something that he isn't. It was in 2010 when something like 80 Democrats got thrown out in their behinds. Yes, every time the people are allowed to vote, they say no to radical left-wing social policy, radical left-wing politics. I believe that if Romney got a little tougher and stopped being so wimpy, and he's showing a few signs of some kind of strength, he's moving ahead in the polls. If he got even stronger and the election were held today, he'd win by 20 points. There's no question about it. And that's why I'm talking about cars as well as anything else. You know, I think it's mainly older guys who are interested in cars, to be honest with you. I don't think that younger guys have the car thing that we had, you know, older guy. I really don't think, like, if you look at the Mecum auctions or any of those shows, you really see young people there. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with it. It's older people have money, they have money to spend. It's a piece of nostalgia many of them are buying, you know. But a car is still a big part of American culture. I buy the Hemmings Motor News. You know, what magazines do I buy? You know I write books. That I don't have to tell you, so I don't have to show you I'm a great intellectual. But I buy Hemmings. The minute it comes out to me, it's like I have to have it. I don't know why. I like to read it in the toilet. The print is too small for me, but I like to see, you know, look at the pictures and the prices and this and that, and put it down. I like to buy boat magazines. I buy flying magazine. I'm still a frustrated pilot, meaning I don't know how to fly a plane, but wish I did. I joke with a pilot on the way out here. I said to him, you know, I put my arm around him. I loved it. I get on this plane. It was a friend's private plane. So he says, I love to ask the pilots what their background is. So the guy, they're very nice. Most of them are really nice. Once I had a bum who asked me for my ID. It was really an insult. He was young, right out of flight school. A jerk. Most of them, though, are really great. They're either retired mainline airline pilots, great guys. This guy had two tours as a Marine pilot in Iraq in a helicopter, and this was amazing. So now he's flying this plane. So the minute he told me that, and as before I got on the plane, I put my arm around him. I said, you know, if it weren't for my agoraphobia, I would have been a great pilot. Now, you know, I thought it was a funny line. He laughed. He got a kick out of it. And that's what I like about it. Real men can take a joke and laugh about it. You say that to, like, somebody without a sense of humor, they don't even understand it's funny. We are from different cultures, different backgrounds, different age generation, different generation. He got the joke. He understood it was a joke. When I said if it wasn't for my agoraphobia, I would have been a great Navy pilot. But they've always been my hero, these guys. I love the guy flying the plane because the guy was really, you know, the kind of pilot that if there was an emergency, I would figure I have the best chance of survival, in plain English. To me, I don't like a trainee in the cabin. So let's cut it off at that point. You know, I don't want to see a trainee or someone put there by Obama because it looks good on a postcard. Cadillac 1955 Eldorado beer at 67,000 OBO. Oh, here's one. Remember when my father got his, it's summer, I can tell a car thing, right? My father didn't have a lot of money. He was a small shopkeeper, made a good living. We owned our own house. I never missed a meal. I went to a municipal college. He told me, you want to go to a private college, you'll have to pay for it yourself. All right, that's what it was. He never went to a college. He couldn't afford it. He had to work. First, he used to buy used Cadillacs. That was his thing. And his entire search, God rest his soul, was for a cream puff, quote unquote. His dream was to find a cream puff Cadillac, 2 years old, 3 years old. And if he'd find one, he would go and try to, you know, bargain for it and buy it. So once he buys I think it was a 54 or a 55 Cadillac Sedan DeVille. Well, when he brought that car home, it looked like new, like showroom condition. I don't know what he paid for it. But it was like his first, you know, Cadillac that he was able to buy. I mean, business was doing a little better. You got to picture this. We lived in an attached house in Queens, New York, which had obviously a garage below it. But this attached house was on a street where the garage was below under the house because it was on a steep decline. There was no attached garage or behind the house. It was under the house, under the living room, as a matter of fact. You had to drive down a 45-degree driveway to get into this garage. Needless to say, no one ever used it because the winter comes, you're not going to get that car out other than with like a crane. You'd have to call like a Navy crane to pull a car out in the winter. So he gets this car in the springtime, and naturally because it's, you know, a new possession, I'll never forget to this day, I was a kid, a young kid. He drives it home, and he drove it down that steep driveway, 45 degrees, into the garage on Utopia Parkway and closed the door. Now we're all in, now we're safe in the garage. And we get in the car and we open and close the doors and we jump down in the seats as kids would. Wow, a Cadillac is in the garage. I'm asking a question. It's a strange part of Americana that I am describing to you. Does anyone do that anymore with a car? I don't think so. Would a kid really care what kind of car his father bought unless it was, let's say, a Maserati, excuse me, a Lambo or a Ferrari? Does a kid really care?
Savage.